you're right, and you know that you're right on target here at Hicks Target. My name is Mark Antony, and these are the Nihilists. On my left, a man the band likes to call the saxophone player. Only been playing saxophone for 3 weeks. Isn't that amazing? And on my right, on a work release program from San Bruno County Jail, on Leopard Skin Johnson, the one, the only, Shocking Cock. These fearful times make willing slaves who seek their freedom in their chains. Reagan's election was no surprise. You voted for Nixon twice. Why?
She say on the man who pulls the strings. She just said it. There you have it, straight from the mouths of the greatest political philosophers in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Mime Troupe. When the rest of the left roll over and play dead, the San Francisco Mime Troupe marches on. And that's exactly the problem. Half the left doesn't see who pulls the strings in this country. The progressives have no idea who's pulling the strings. And so, in order to understand that, we have to do these investigations. All right. For years, we could not figure out the King assassination, and we didn't even look at the Wallace assassination. But now, what if it turns out that the same people who killed Dr. Martin Luther King also shot George Wallace? What if it turns out that George Wallace lives, wakes up, and leads a movement to release the Nixon Watergate tapes? Holy cow! The Mime Troupe couldn't even come up with a convoluted, curious, amazing, funny scenario like that. Well, actually, they did. Two summers ago, the Mime Troupe did a play called Back to Normal about the role of George Bush and Richard Nixon in the assassination of President John Kennedy. But even they were not aware of what we know now about how U.S. Army intelligence shot Dr. Martin Luther King and shot George Wallace, and that all the evidence is on the tapes. Actually, the Mime Troupe did, as I remember in their play Back to Normal, they did discuss that the Nixon Watergate tapes were the best evidence. The Mime Troupe. Yes, and by the way, I'll see you this weekend. I'll be at the Mime Troupe event this weekend, setting up a table. So if you want to meet and talk, time to do it is at the Mime Troupe thing. If you haven't seen their offshore play, it's fabulous, fantabulous. Come and see the play. Come and talk to me. I'll be there setting up about an hour before the play, so we'll have time to talk. And then after the play, I'll be there, so we'll have time to talk. And I'll be passing out leaflets and selling tickets to the event at the Hilton Hotel on Tuesday, July 27th. And more importantly, we need to help organize this movement, because even though George Wallace now seems to be in the forefront of the movement, seems to have grasped the moral imperative in this situation, he can't do it by himself, and we don't want him doing it by himself because he'll do it wrong, possibly. So what we want to do is we want to have a lot of leaders. We want to be able to support Wallace's campaign to release the Nixon Watergate tapes. But at the same time, we want to be able to make sure that all the evidence gets released and the handcuffs are slapped firmly on the wrists of Richard Nixon and George Bush. Won't that be a great day in American history when we can place Nixon on the gallows and Bush on the gallows, and the mime troop can march out in French costumes, and we can bring the guillotine down prior to the millennium on the Nixon administration and the Bush administration, and free ourselves from all their dastardly deeds over the last 30 years by exposing the truth of the actual assassinations. And ironic indeed if George Wallace leads this movement. So let us hope and pray that George Wallace has the guts that he exhibited in the 60s on the wrong side of the issue to continue now on the right side of the issue. After all, it's in his best interest to know who actually shot him and how it was that he was kept from becoming President of the United States. Say that loud. Say it clear. George Wallace, President of the United States, 1972. Would not that have been phenomenal? Well, we don't know. But it's in the interest of George Wallace to re-examine the history. Remember, folks, it's the winners who write the history books. And when it comes to Nixon and Bush, it looks like the American people, including George Wallace, are going to turn out to be the winners in this case. And Nixon and Bush are going to jail, at the minimum, for their role in the assassinations over the last 30 years. So I invite you to participate. And one of the ways, as I mentioned earlier, is please write a letter. Here's a letter I wrote to George Wallace Sr., care of the State Treasurer's Office, State Capitol, Montgomery, Alabama, zip code 36130. I write to express my support for your efforts to reopen the investigation into who shot you while you were running for president in your 1972 campaign. You could have won. I have suspected Nixon's involvement with Hoover and the FBI since I first heard about your tragic shooting. Removing you, the leading candidate, struck me as very, very suspicious. Now that the new information found in the Nixon Watergate tapes raises my suspicions even higher. We need a real investigation. No matter what one thinks, the best evidence can be found in the Nixon White House tapes that Nixon and the FBI have spent millions in trying to keep secret. Why are they trying to keep the tapes secret? Is it because the one man who could have beat Nixon in 1972, namely George Wallace, was actually running for president and could have easily beat Nixon in the South and probably won the election? I have believed so since 1972. I wrote an article to that effect in 1972. What I said in the article, being a realist, was that Wallace was more a man of the people than Nixon. Wallace could out-Nixon Nixon on the then hot issues of race, states' rights, and such. No matter what side of the issues one stood on then, it was obvious that Wallace could beat Nixon in the South, unless, of course, Wallace left the race. The way Hitler came to power in Germany was he shot his opponents, even those with whom he had some agreement, if he thought they had more popular appeal than he did. Nixon may have done the same thing. George Wallace, Sr., I urge you to ask President Bill Clinton to release the Nixon Watergate tapes. If he won't release them, then I believe your state attorney general has the power to reopen the investigation and subpoena the Nixon Watergate tapes. One more possibility. You should also look into the U.S. Army intelligence files from that period. From a major article I have just read from a May issue of the Memphis newspaper, U.S. Army intelligence had a special squad of Green Beret who were doing political assassinations for the FBI and Nixon. The article was written by a Tennessee reporter, Steve Tompkins. In my discussions with him, he hinted that there was much, much more to the story if anyone had the legal power to get the Army files from 1967 to 1979. Signed, Paul Kangas, private investigator, former bodyguard for President John Kennedy. Now, again, I would like you to write a postcard or a letter to George Wallace Sr. at the State Capitol, State Treasurer's Office, Montgomery, Alabama, 36130. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if a large number of black people and white people in the United States, Asian people, Latin people, even Vietnamese, remember, if it hadn't been for the CIA assassination of John Kennedy, the Vietnam War would have stopped. And 2 million Vietnamese children and women would not have been burned to death by napalm, and Vietnamese men would not have been killed. So if a large contingent of Bay Area folks, the rainbow of the Bay Area, write to George Wallace, woo! I mean, that just is so ironic and comical to think about it. You know, all these, this whole rainbow that lives here in the Bay Area, writing letters of support to George Wallace, when in the 60s, we didn't exactly write letters of support to George Wallace for his actions in the South. So now all of a sudden, because we discover that we have something in common, that is, we all hate Nixon so much that we can never forgive Nixon for the dirty, bloody deeds he did to this country, he being only the front man, the lawyer representing the ruling class and the people that pull the strings, but still we cannot forgive the ruling class, we cannot forget who pulls the strings here. Nixon is nothing more than a puppet, but it would sure be a lot of fun to put that puppet in jail. And then after we get rid of them, then we can talk about the role of Dianne Feinstein in that period also, and how it was her closest confidant, Dan White. If you go look at the voting history of Dianne Feinstein and Dan White in the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, you notice that when they were both supervisors, Dan White and Dianne Feinstein voted exactly the same on every single issue. And Dianne White was Dianne Feinstein's closest comrade in arms. And then Dan White assassinates the mayor and another liberal, Harvey Milk. And so Feinstein becomes mayor, and then she moves on to become our congressman from the great state, replacing Richard Nixon as the representative of California that California puked forth onto the national scene. So I'm, of course, predicting that Dianne Feinstein will become the first woman president of the United States. And so, again, California will have put people like Nixon and Feinstein in the White House. But actually, what I'm saying earlier is that Nixon shot his way into the White House. And I don't think for a moment that Dianne Feinstein ordered Dan White to shoot Moscone and Milk, but I'm just thinking out loud here as I get emotionally inspired by the image of George Wallace now leading a movement to release the Nixon Watergate tapes. I mean, all kinds of folks, interesting, powerful people, from Oliver Stone to Jerry Brown to Paul Kangas, have been trying to get these Nixon Watergate tapes released for years and years and years. In fact, Oliver Stone called me up and asked about the Nixon Watergate tapes, what's their connection to the Kennedy assassination, 2 days before he's going to Congress. And then the day before Congress, he meets my lawyer, and I've got a lawyer working for me in Washington, D.C., and he meets with my lawyer in Washington, D.C., and goes over the files with him. And then the next day, Oliver Stone goes before Congress and calls for the release of the Nixon Watergate tapes, JFK files, the King files, and the Robert Kennedy files. Well, I'm sorry that I was so narrow-minded and didn't ask Oliver Stone to take a look at the George Wallace files, too. But fortunately, Seymour Hersh came out of from nowhere with this brilliant article. By the way, if you want a copy of the article, I'll tell you where it is. It's in the December 1992 issue of the New Yorker magazine, a long, extensive article on Nixon and the FBI and the CIA have spent millions of dollars to cover up the Nixon Watergate tapes, and that's where George Wallace got hip to the fact that Nixon was involved in the shooting of George Wallace. If you'd like a copy of it, by the way, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope and ask for the Seymour Hersh article, and I'll save you a trip to the library. I'll send it to you. Isn't that convenient to have it mailed? By the way, send a donation sufficient to cover the postage, would you please? The address is P.O. Box 422644, San Francisco 94142. That's P.O. Box 422644, San Francisco 94142. And now, let me read to you out of the article on the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King some of the amazing facts that have been discovered. By the way, if there's any hipsters or songwriters out there that want to do rap music or songs about the U.S. Army intelligence shooting of Dr. Martin Luther King, I could sure use a song like that. We need some good music on the killing of King. There is nothing. The King assassination has been very carefully covered up. I didn't realize to the full extent that it was covered up until I ran across this article of this Memphis newspaper. I was totally blown away by that. But now that we know the facts, it's time for the musicians to lead the march with some new music, some music that points the finger at the bloody hand of the U.S. Army intelligence agencies, who we never knew until this point in history had this massive intelligence system going on. They were actually surveilling the Martin Luther King family. The whole King family has been followed by Army intelligence for 75 years. That's before any of us were alive. That for sure is before any of us realized that Army intelligence was doing this. I mean, many black activists realized it. Black political people realized. But not only was Army intelligence doing it, they were recruiting top black officials out of churches and business to spy on the political activists. It's like the old days in the slaves, where there were two kinds of slaves. There were the house niggers and the field niggers. And if the master's house caught on fire, why, you'd see the house nigger out there jumping up and down, screaming for the house fire to be put out by the field niggers, because it was our house, the house nigger would say. It's our house is burning down. And the field nigger would stand there and say, that ain't our house. I've never been in that house. Well, the same phenomena goes on now with U.S. Army intelligence, and they recruit top black officials to spy on the lower black political activists, like Martin Luther King, like Jesse Jackson. Those kind of people get spied on, like Stokely Carmichael, get spied on by the wealthier blacks. Now, how are wealthier blacks created? Well, they're selected by the man who pulls the strings, the ruling class, and given perks and privileges and money so that they'll be loyal to their enemy, that is, loyal to the very white racists who are exploiting the majority of black people in this country. And I guess what I'm raising here is the class nature of the struggle against racism by the black community. It turns out that if what Army intelligence files seem to indicate is true, namely that Army intelligence for years has been hiring black people to spy on other black people, then there is still some difficult times ahead in overcoming this manipulation of people within one group. In other words, whether it's whites or blacks, you know, there's actually, in this country, there's more poor whites than there is poor anything else, because there's more whites. So a lot of whites don't understand that. They think that if they're white, they're middle class. They don't. A lot of whites, poor white trash, like myself, I come from that kind of background, they think that they're better than black people for some reason, African Americans. And they, only because they have white skin. That's the only thing they got. I mean, they're living in a tar paper shack or a trailer house that's just as bad as the black family that lives next door, and yet the poor white trash looks down their nose at black people who are living in the same neighborhood because of a misunderstanding of what's going on in this country. That is a failure to understand who pulls the strings in this country. This could be this is the wealthiest nation on earth. It's just that the wealthy people, the 6% of our population, maybe it's 2%, down to 2%, keep sucking all the wealth to them, and so denying 90% of the population things like health care. Right now, it's the insurance companies that are major enemies of this country and are destroying this country, and the lawyers that work for the insurance companies. So if you know any lawyers, call them up and tell them a lawyer's joke, like, do you know how you get a lawyer down out of a tree? You cut the rope. Do you know how you prevent a lawyer from drowning? You take your foot off their head. Yes, the lawyers in many ways are the enemies. They're the princes out there, the prince who has all this power and abuses their power and uses it to destroy institutions like child care and unemployment benefits and health care in this country. So we have to fight these folks, but you have to understand who they are to fight them. And so poor white and poor black people have to see that the enemy is the insurance companies, and that the enemy is the lawyers, and the enemy is the banks. That's the force. You see people wearing hats that say, fight the force. Well, who is the force? The force is not white people. The division in this country is not between black and white, although much of the media plays off that and tries to get black people and white people to fight each other. The enemy is those who control our institutions and in ways that deny us all equal rights to education and equal rights to health care and jobs. And I think we're actually fortunate. I know I'm stepping out on a limb saying the next thing. I think we're actually fortunate to have somebody like Clinton in the White House. I don't trust Clinton 100%, but he's going in the right direction. He just appointed a woman head of the Air Force, and he now has a chance to appoint a woman the head of the FBI. And considering what we know about, by golly, now there's an idea. Considering what we know about the FBI's involvement in the assassination of George Wallace and Dr. Martin Luther King, it seems that it would be useful for Clinton to appoint a woman, a black woman, to be the head of the FBI, since he's removing the present head of the FBI, a guy, a clown named Sessions, who has been part of the cover-up. Now is the time for people to, especially women, should be writing to Clinton to appoint Anita Hill the head of the FBI in the United States. By the way, President Clinton's address is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20500. Please send a postcard asking that President Clinton appoint a black woman the head of the FBI so that we can stop the FBI from being a weapon against black people. And that's what it's been since it was founded. It was a weapon against black people. And if Clinton's serious about fighting racism in this country and serious about doing something to change conditions, it seems to me we should urge him to appoint a black woman the head of the FBI here in the United States. It's time for it. I mean, I'd even be willing to put up with Jesse Jackson being the head of the FBI. But I'd rather see Anita Hill or somebody like that be the head of the FBI. By the way, if people have nominees for who should be the black woman appointed the head of the FBI, please call our office and we'll tape the responses and put you on the air. 897-0153. Give us a call, and if you're interested in being on the radio and talking about which black woman should be the head of the FBI, let's start a little movement right here in the Bay Area to lobby Clinton to place a black woman as the head of the FBI now in 1993. It's about time. It's about time that there is a black woman up there in power. I mean, there's a black man in the Supreme Court. There's a woman in the Supreme Court. There's a woman ahead of the Justice Department. There's women in the cabinet. Clinton just appointed a white woman the head of the Air Force, and now he's got a chance to do right by black women in this country. And be nice to have a black woman like Anita Hill up there, head of the FBI, so she keep her eye on Clarence Thomas. Keep her eye on Clarence Thomas and the others who gave her a hard time as she was climbing the ladder of success. Again, our office number, if you would be interested in participating in this lobbying effort on behalf of Anita Hill and other equally well-qualified black women in this country, is 897-0153. Call us up. Give us your opinion. 897-0153. And if you're interested in attending the conference on the assassinations and the shootings, please give us a call. That conference is July 27th at the Hilton Hotel, 6 p.m. on Tuesday, July 27th. We want as many people to participate as possible, and the Hilton has agreed to give us as large a room as necessary to hold the conference, so the more people, the merrier. Now, as promised, here I'm going to read from an article out of a Memphis newspaper indicating that 8 Green Beret snipers are actually the people who killed Dr. Martin Luther King. I'm going to be sending this to George Wallace Sr., along with the letter I read about supporting the reopening of the investigation. It starts out, the intelligence branch of the United States Army spied on the family of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. for 3 generations. Top secret, often illegal intrusions into the lives of black Americans began more than 75 years ago, and often focused on black churches in the South and their ministers. The spying was born of a conviction by top Army intelligence officers that black Americans were ripe for subversion, first by agents of the German Kaiser, then by communists, and later by the Japanese, and eventually by those opposed to the Vietnam War. Now, let me read some of out of the middle of the end of the story, where they talk about their analysis of the Poor People's March on Washington, D.C. It's headlined, The Message of Hanoi. An intelligence analysis distributed during a December 12, 1967 special U.S. Army conference at the Pentagon described King's planned march on Washington, D.C. as a devastating civil rights disturbance whose sole purpose is to shut down the United States government. The report described King as a Negro who repeatedly had preached the message of Hanoi and Peking. Some of the Army's best officers attended that meeting to discuss target city priorities in light of King's plan to ignite violence and mayhem, quote, throughout the United States in April, according to a report on the conference. But the meeting broke up in frustration, one unnamed U.S. Army intelligence participant said, who, by the way, was the inside source that the author used to write this great report, quoting him, looking back, I can remember nobody had any answers, he said. We had all these West Point geniuses who could lead divisions, but when it came to stopping Dr. Martin Luther King, they didn't have a clue. That's because the Army keeps its officers politically stupid. Nevertheless, Army intelligence intensified its surveillance of King and covertly dispatched Green Beret sniper teams to make street maps, identifying landing zones for troops and scout sniper sites in 39 potentially racially explosive cities, including Memphis, Tennessee. Here they are scouting sniper sites in Memphis, Tennessee. Then, the Army intelligence system was keenly focused on King and desperately searching for a way to stop him. On April 4th, 1968, King was killed by a sniper's bullet at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. Now, the article doesn't say that the shot was fired by a Green Beret sniper, but you can sure read between the lines on that one and sure draw the conclusion. So if you're interested in the copy of this article, please send us a self-addressed stamped envelope to P.O. Box 422644, San Francisco 94142. And if you don't send us a donation, we'll send you the short version. If you send us a donation, we'll send you the long version. Your choice. The address again is P.O. Box 422644. 6-4-4. San Francisco, 94142. And that's the end of this program. Thanking you, this has been Paul Kangas at 897-0153.